On either side of the course, the ocean of nescience must not associate with emotes of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated self-certification, and at last, liberation. If you like, you can repeat. Those who strongly desire, to cross the ocean of nations, must not associate with emotes of ignorance. For hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated sense gratification, and at last liberation. The four principles of life allow one to live according to religious principles, to earn money according to one's position in society, to allow the senses to enjoy the sense objects according to regulations, and to progress along the path of liberation from this material attachment. As long as the body is there, it is not possible to become completely free from all these material interests. It is not, however, recommended that one act only through sensitification and earn money for that purpose only, sacrificing all religious principles. At the present moment, human civilization does not care for religious principles. It is, however, greatly interested in economic development without religious principles. For instance, in a slaughterhouse, the butchers certainly get money easily, but such business is not based on religious principles. Similarly, there are many nightclubs for sanctification and brothels for sex. Sex, of course, is allowed in married life, but prostitution is prohibited because all our activities are ultimately aimed at liberation, at freedom from the clutches of material existence. Similarly, although the government may license liquor shops, this does not mean that liquor shops should be opened unrestrictedly and illicit liquor smuggle. Similarly, although the government may license liquor shops, this does not mean that liquor shops should be opened unrestrictedly and illicit liquor smuggled. Licensing is meant for restricting. No one has to take a license for sugar, wheat, or milk, because there is no need to restrict these things. Maybe in Cuba you have to do that. You know Cuba? There, they don't have food, so they do that. But normally you don't have. So again, no one has to take a license for sugar, wheat or milk, because there is no need to restrict these things.
It's wheat.
Wheat to make bread.
Wheat means
wheat to make bread.
Wheat for making bread.
Wheat, thank you. In other words, it is advised that one not act in a way that will obstruct the regular process of advancement in spiritual life and liberation. The very process of sanctification is therefore planned in such a way that one can economically develop and enjoy sense gratification and yet ultimately attain liberation. Vedic civilization offers us all knowledge in the Shastras And if we live a regulated life under the direction of Shastras and Guru, all our material desires will be fulfilled. At the same time, we will be able to go forward to liberation. Nakuriyat karichit sangam tamastivram titirishu dharmartha kama mokshanam yatatyanta vihatakam. Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations must not associate with the modes of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions to realization of religious principles. Economic development, regulated sense gratification, and at last liberation. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Adesha Tarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radhada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. Day before yesterday we were discussing priorities in life and how spiritual life should be the first priority in human life, and social life and other duties are secondary priorities. This is the instruction given by Sanat Kumara in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam and by other acharyas throughout the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a message which comes back again and again. It is repeated continuously because we tend to forget it, as we were discussing previously. Today's verse says that if we do want to cross over the ocean of material existence, if we want to go back home, back to Godhead, we should be very careful with the type of association that we take in our life. And especially we should be careful to avoid the modes of ignorance. That is, activities which arise from the bodily identification. This is the mode of ignorance. We were discussing the example of if we do several mathematical operations, if we make a mistake on the first operation, then that's a problem. Because even if we do everything else right, all the other calculations, the result will be wrong. So the first mistake in human society is that we start from the point of identifying with the material body. So this is association with material activities, which come from the mode of ignorance. That is, ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha, eating, sleeping, feeling or defending, and mating. These activities are the basic activities of sense gratification, and we should be very careful to do them in a regulated manner. Only whatever is necessary to maintain the body and soul together and to live a healthy and, we could say, peaceful life. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada here gives the example of marriage life. He says that sex is allowed to merit life, but not otherwise. So that means that, okay, like Srila Prabhupada will say sometimes, will tell disciples, okay, you marry and live peacefully. What did he mean by saying live peacefully? Means you live a respectable life, regulated life, and engage yourself in the service of the Lord. No need to engage in other type of activities. You can be happy serving the Lord and engaging your family members in the service of the Lord. But then if we go like modern society, like one devotee was telling me, his brother is working in he's a chief executive of a top company, and he travels many times to different places. He was telling me about, I will not mention what activities because it's not good to remember, but the point is that he was mentioning how his brother, he was earning so much money, and he was going to for meetings to hotels and engaging in all kinds of nonsense activities. He's a married man. He could live a very respectable life and honor his family, but he's engaging in all kinds of nonsense activities. And he even was so shameless that he would want to tell his brother. So that shows the condition of human society nowadays. This is an example of how human society is organized and what are the priorities of life. So the verse today mentions the four purusharthas. Purusharta means goals of human endeavor. And there are four goals of human endeavor mentioned in the Vedas. And they are mentioned in the last line. Dharma, religiosity, artha, material development, economic development, kama, sense enjoyment, moksha, liberation. And these are known also as chaturvarga. Chaturvarga. These are the four goals, the four paths achievable through human endeavor. If we move following the right direction. So it is like driving on the highway. We're driving, and there are exits. Like if we have to walk, say that our goal is to reach Brussels. So there are different exits on the way to Brussels. We have, for example, Namur, right? And then we have Otigné, you call it like that. That much you know. I'm not a driver, but I have seen. Then you have Saventem Airport, and finally you reach Brussels. So these are different options that one may achieve through following that direction. So we see that these goals are there. These are temporary exits on the path back home, back to Godhead, which is the real goal of human endeavor. The real goal of human endeavor is ultimate moksha. And ultimate moksha means actually what Vaishnava Charis has described as the Panchama Purushartha, or the fifth goal, the quintessence. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Premapumarto Mahan. The supreme goal of life, ultimate liberation, is to develop love of Godhead. To awaken our real energy of happiness, which is offering service to the Lord in loving emotion, in loving rapture. This is the purpose of human life. So these goals, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Moksha depends on what we interpret can be or can not be the ultimate goal. If we see Moksha as ultimate Moksha, Hitvangyatas, how is that? That verse? Muktir Hitvangyatarupam. Svarupena Vivastiti, thank you. So, the ultimate liberation means to become situated in one's constitutional position as eternal servant of the Lord. If we want to merge on in the Lord or on the Brahman effulgence, and we believe we are Brahman effulgence, we are God, that's a misconception. That's the ultimate misconception. To forget our constitutional position as subordinate servants of the Supreme Soul. So, still, there is no harm in going through these partial goals, Dharma, as long as we have the final goal clear, there is no harm to perform religious rituals. If no harm when we do them to please the Lord. Artha, material development, that's necessary to maintain body and soul. We need some food, some shelter, some clothing, some wealth to maintain our basic needs, our family, for example, our community, right? We need some money. When we do it for Krishna, of course we depend on Krishna, we know that Krishna will send, but Krishna also wants to see that we endeavor to serve Him. And we have to work hard to maintain, to develop the community. So Dharma, Artha, Kama, some sense enjoyment is necessary to live. So no problem, we can also have some enjoyment as long as it is related to Krishna. If we're going to enjoy food, for example, we do enjoy food, but we do not enjoy it as bhoga, as sense gratification, as ordinary. Actually, it will be to enjoy food only for sense gratification is sinful. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Yagyashi stasina santo muchyante sarva kibise. Bunjate tituagam papam jepa chanti atma karana. People who do not offer food to Krishna as sacrifice, when they eat that food, they are enjoying sin. So we can eat nice food, but food which has been cooked and offered to the Lord with love and devotion. Then we are not just eating food, but actually we are eating the mercy of the Lord, eating prasad. Prasad is the love of God coming through His energies, in this case through food. And actually we're eating devotion, and we can see God within also the elements, as described also in the Upanishads. Prana in food. The food is it is actually Brahman, it is the energy of God. It is God Himself manifest as food. But we can see it better when we offer that food back to the origin of to the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. As the pilgrim will offer the Ganges water to the Ganges. What can the pilgrim offer? We have nothing to offer. Okay, we can offer some flowers. But when the pilgrim is a beggar, he has nothing, he comes, so he offers the very same water provided with Mother Ganges to her. And the main element is bhakti, love and devotion. So similarly, also, what can we offer? We have nothing. Sometimes we talk about renouncing. But but what can we renounce to when we are not the owners of anything? Whether we accept it or not, we are beggars, we are penniless. Even the fool multimillionaire who thinks he's very proud, the owner of everything, he has nothing. He thinks he has, but he has nothing. At any moment, he can be pushed away from that wealth. And we know that this will come in due course of time. He may be very proud, like a very proud ruler, killing people, like we have sometimes these big tyrants in the history of the world, killing many people, exploiting them. I'm very proud of thinking that no one can do anything to me. But the fact is that in due course of time, we will have to move on. And that person will be kicked out of his position in 1 second, in no time. So, and then Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, ultimate liberation. And this is actually the purpose of religious principles. One of Srila Prabhupada's favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam is the verse Dharmasya Iapavargyasya Nartur Artoya Kalpate Nartasya Dharmai Kantasya Kamola Vaya Esmrita, which means that Dharma, religious activities, duties in this world, should be performed to achieve ultimate liberation, to achieve moksha. And the Bhagavatam explains, again, ultimate liberation means to revive our constitutional position as servants of the Lord, to awaken pure bhakti, pure love of Godhead, especially through the processes of hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna in the association of devotees. So, here, today's verse is emphasizing a message. If we do want to cross over the ocean of material nations, and of course now the question could be asked, to what extent do we want? Because sometimes we get distracted and we tend to go out. We're going to Brussels, but the mind takes us, oh, stop here, in the Namur there is a nice shop, you can buy something, and we don't remember that we will miss the airplane going to Vrindavan. We're going actually to Brussels airport to go to Vrindavan. And then if suddenly, I know Vrindavan comes to us, and suddenly we deviate, the mind tells us, stop there, and there's a nice friend, and then you can go and visit him and have a nice time, and so on. But then we miss the plane. So we should be very careful in human life, not to waste time. We can do things with very great care. Because if we lose time, it is a very valuable opportunity. Like the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse in the 11th canto. It goes like this. Labdhavudurlabhaminam bahusam bhavante manushyamartalam anityam apihadira turnam yate tanapatet anunityu yavan nishreyasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. The meaning of the verse is that after many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which although it's temporary, it is a temporary, we may say, okay, I may get another life, I may get another opportunity. Some scholars say that the Christians, they took out some quotes referring to reincarnation from the Bible because people was procrastinating and they were saying, okay, next life we will do it. So I have another opportunity. So the leaders of the church they decided to take all these quotations, which we shouldn't do that. We need to take from Shastras. We just need to listen properly what the scriptures say. Like here is saying, yes, although human life is temporary, and although we may have many more lifetimes, says, the Bhagavatam says, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life. Quickly, do not delay. We do not know when we are going to die. We may think we are still young. We have whatever, in our 20s, 30s, or even 40s. I still am a young man, a young woman. I can do things. I have many years. I can prepare for death. Now I can enjoy a little bit, and later on I will focus on self-realization. But we should not delay, because we do not know how old we are. Because old means, actually, a good way of measuring old age is, what's the difference between my present age and when I'm going to die? Not my present age and when I took birth. This is a superficial way of measuring old age. But a more profound way of doing it is looking at the difference between our time, how much time is left. Like the example given by Srila Prabhupada, and given in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the ancestor of Lord Ramachandra, Maharaj Katvanga. Katvanga Maharaj, he was a king, and he fought in favor of the demigods. Very powerful king, very strong. And he slept very little. He was so strong, so dedicated, working so hard, giving his full life for the service of others. So what happened is that after the demigods won the battle, they were very pleased with Maharaj Katvanga, because he really fought for them, and he really made a contribution for their community. So then they asked him, we are very happy, you have given us so much, you have given us so many years of your life. Please tell us, what do you want? Ask anyone. Imagine Lord Brahma coming here at this very moment and offering you in private, no one knows, offering you a blessing. What do you want? You can ask me whatever you desire. There will be a temptation, isn't it? You can take whatever you want. You can become the emperor of the universe. Can you imagine?
Can't you ask Prima Bhakti?
You can ask Prima Bhakti. Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. But imagine that then was offering a boon. So what did Maharaj Katvanga reply? He said, how much time do I have to live? That was his question. Can I check the records? How much time? How old am I? And then the demigods, they checked with Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. They checked and they said, oh, just a few moments more. And then immediately he said, so please take me to Vrindavan, take me to the abode of the Lord, so that I can surrender unto him. And immediately he surrendered unto the Lord. So Katvanga Maharaj was very wise. So we shouldn't think we still have time. We do not know how much time we have. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam discusses death. This is the seminal question. What is the duty of a human being? Parikshit Maharaj is asking. What is the duty of a human being who is about to die? Only 7 days left. What is the duty? What should he hear? What should he talk about? what should she remember, what should she do, and also what she shouldn't do. And today's verse tells us what we shouldn't do. We should not associate with the lower modes of nature, with materialistic people, with people who perform hedonistic activities. And this can be physically, this can be also in our mind. Therefore, the best is to engage the senses and the mind in the association of devotees to serve the Lord. To live with devotees is very, very helpful. Because naturally, we have many opportunities to remember Krishna. And if we forget, the devotees will remind us, directly or indirectly. So therefore, Sanat Kumar is giving us this very important instruction that we should not commit suicide by associating with the lower modes of nature. Suicide meaning wasting our valuable human energy, which allows us the opportunity to go back, come back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So Sanat Kumar says, those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations must not associate with the modes of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated sense gratification, and at last, liberation. Thank you very much. If you'd like to ask any questions or make any comments.
Just the example of the Maharaj Kathanda. Is this, does we understand that actually our meditation should be only for the time of death, or this complete surrender should be now? If, for example, they were telling you have like 300 years more to live, is action would be different? I could act more Maya?
Best will be that we do it now, but sometimes we are not yet there. Therefore, the Lord is very merciful, and He gives us different options. Like in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, Krishna says, "Mayi eva mani adatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasis yasi mayeva, eva atta urva munasamsaya." Just fix your mind on me, and engage your intelligence on me. In this way, you will live with me always, undoubtedly. So this will be full surrender. And that's the best. If we are able to do this, that's the best. But sometimes we see that due to bad habits and still impurities, we cannot make it. Last night I was chanting a few rounds up in the office, in the college office. Of course the light was on, it was dark all the time. So there was one of these flying insects. I don't know what the species was. It was his size. It was time to come in. And was looking after the light. So sometimes I was thinking, sometimes we sadhakas, we are like that. We are going Krishna Surya Sama. We're going after Krishna's light. We want to be pure devotees, remember I was Krishna. But there is some glass there and couldn't come in. And the fellow couldn't see what's in the middle. Was trying again and again. So only she couldn't enter unless I open. In this case, I open the window. In our case, unless the Lord or His pure devotees open the window of the mercy, even if we endeavor, we cannot make it. So ultimately, we need the mercy of the Lord, especially the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. They are opening, they open the window. Like Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, he offers obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyanu Kampayaswapi Mahapti Santarit Sukham, which means that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a dog can swim across the ocean of material ex- existence. So we need the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes by our own endeavor, always, we cannot attain the goal. We need the Lord to open the window. So Krishna gives the alternative is, how is the verse? Atachitam samadatum nashaknoshi majistiram abhyasa yoginatato mamichaptum dananjaya. If you are not able to do this, to always live with me, then follow the principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way you will develop a desire to come to me. Mamichaptum dananjaya. So if we are not yet there, it's fine, then we endeavor gradually. This is the general process. We endeavor gradually. That's why we follow the Varnashram system. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. All the different duties of the different Varnas. And we should do them to please the Lord. Without thinking that we are those denominations, but at the same time performing our duties to please the Lord. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.